Between 25 and 30 years ago, on a Saturday morning, I got a call from a person named John Duran. Now, I have a neighbor who's a wheat grower, who's named John Durand, and he has, for 30 years, relentlessly teased me about being a university person and not knowing enough about farming. And so I thought I was talking to him. And so I don't know what I said to John Duran, but I was making fun of John Durand because of what he was asking me to do. And for a while there, probably a half an hour, I think I led John on. I don't know what kind of merry path that was, but it was quite embarrassing to realize that I was really not talking about to my neighbor, who I try really hard to tease as well, but I was talking to the John Duran, who I admired for almost all my career up to then, which didn't seem like it was going to last very long after that. So from then on, John Duran has always started a conversation with me by saying, "Howdy, neighbor." And I didn't realize it until being asked to give this talk that really he is a neighbor to the whole world. That is his passion, and that's what I'd like to talk about today. Now, talking about the wheat grower, John Duran, he has had an excellent joke the whole 30 years because of your call to me on that Saturday morning, very early at breakfast. Who, anybody working would want to call somebody on Saturday morning at my house? How did he get my phone number? Anyway, that's John Duran. I want to start my talk by doing this thing that I do to every group of farmers, growers, the public, to kids, talking about the earth as an apple. So here we have two apples, both the same size, but let's figure out how much soil is actually on that earth. First of all, 3/4 of that earth is pretty much water. Okay, now from your scientist standpoint, you know, you've got all your data that you know that's probably not correct, but that's a pretty good estimation. 3/4 water, so we're left with 1/4 soil. But half of that is either too hot, is our polar ice caps or mountaintops. So we got to get rid of that. So that quarter goes down to 1/8. And then half of that is too hot, too dry, too cold, too wet to farm. So it's not, it might be arable soil, but it's not able to be farmed. So we're down to 1/16. Then we talk about convention centers and houses and malls roads, and we're down to 1/32. So 1/32, and we're really only talking about the top couple of feet that we actually can use as arable soil. So every time I do this, my heart skips a beat because I'm a soil scientist, and this is the amount, the very thin sliver of soil that we have to support our 7 billion plus people right now, going soon to be 9 billion. We only have a little bit of that earth. Now, from my standpoint, I was happy to take one little part of that apple sliver and help with the idea of improving our soil and growing better crops and improving the lives of soil. But John, nope, his whole life has been spent and will continue to be spent saving that whole sliver. So we've got this ecstatic skin of the earth, and really, we need to think about it. Back in the 30 years ago, we need to think about it differently. That production wasn't necessarily the only thing that we should be looking at. We needed to think about things a little bit different. Now, I was an early career scientist when all these soil quality things were going on, but I got to be the person watching and triumphing soil microbiology in that. But why are we interested in soil quality? Well, soil is a living, dynamic organism and a system that we need to protect. Healthy soil is resilient, it buffers, and it's a storehouse of nutrients. Unhealthy soil is not. We want to balance the physical, chemical, and biological. Yeah, we have to deal with all those together because it doesn't work otherwise. We need to balance production with soil and the environment. A good, healthy soil is like money in the bank, where you pull the crops or the interest that you pull out of there. It feeds the world, present and future. We're talking about the past, the present and the future when we're talking about soil quality. Now, I always get, if your heart doesn't skip a beat when you talk about that, you need to go into another field. But it always gets me pretty excited. And soil quality is the link to sustainability. And the other thing about soil quality is it lets us talk about the beauty of the soil, the essence of the soil, and what we can do with it and what we can't do with it. So we were all involved in this soil quality group, and I apologize if your name is not up there. Hopefully you can't read any of those things. The whole idea here was to just show that there were a lot of people talking about this, okay? A lot of people being very supportive and a lot of people not being supportive at all. But in the midst of it, there was John Duran. And he had his own agenda. It didn't matter. Didn't matter who was talking about what. So we had Doug Carlin and Diane Stott talking about the engineering systems. We had Jim Parr and Bob Papendick and Jan van Schilfgaard and Jeff Smith talking about multivariate kriging. We had all sorts of different people. It was very wide and very broad and very confusing. And yet John kind of knew what he was going to do. He was going to translate science into practice. And this is the way he was going to do it. So each of us sort of had our little part in the whole construction of this soil quality. And first of all, John is very humble, so he's not necessarily the leader in the soil quality movement. There are an awful lot of people that are involved in this and were involved in this. And yet, the things he's done with soil quality and soil health has been amazing. First of all, translate science into practice. That's one of my favorite quotes from John, just because I think that's what we need to do. As an ARS institution, we need to do that. And as scientists, we need to make sure that we can tell everyone, even a five-year-old, why it's important as to what we do. So the soil quality test kit that Mark talked about, the vest, the various books, the blue and green books, which that's what they're called, blue and green books. Lots of different things there that he was responsible for. Oh, my goodness, John Duran has had so many awards that they don't even fit on a page. He's had so many honors. He's done so much service. He's served on committee after committee after committee. And yet, that's not really the thing that I'm talking about at all. He has had all sorts of positions, and he's done a lot. He's got a lot of energy behind him. But again, he mentioned this, and I don't think it's touchy-feely. I have a problem with the L word, but that's okay. His whole main goal was care for the earth, love one another. Care for the earth, love one another. We need to sing a new song. We need to do something different with our soils. We needed to make sure we protected that thin sliver of earth. So he had all sorts of other quotes. Sing a new song, renew the earth. Agriculture that sustains the earth and its people by assuring productivity and environmental stability. Healthy soils, healthy souls. Care for the earth, love one another, keeps on coming up all the time. Follow your passion and tell everyone, and don't stop. I asked him one time what it was that made him different. And he actually said, follow your passion. Make sure you know everything about the science of your passion, but tell everyone about it over and over and over again. And I'll tell you, early career scientists in the room, that's what I did. I followed that. That's my favorite quote from John Duran, and it made all the difference. He's got the key. Follow your passion. He also has this great quote that he says, he's learned from every person he's met. Some of them he hasn't liked too much, which I think was me at the very beginning of all this. And with time, that changed, and they became friends, which actually is what happened. Learn from every person that you meet. That's exactly what we need to do, and that's just such a wonderful quote. The picture in the corner over there, John is at one of his gardens in Lincoln, Nebraska, and babysitting one of the little kids on whose parents were busy with the gardening. And yet, he was very patient and humble and kind, and he let that little kid spray him all sorts. So here's the difference I see in John Duran that I'm not necessarily seeing in all of us that... Or me, maybe, I guess I should say. Let's just put it that way. He has a very important value in his family. He puts a very important value in his on his family and his faith. That those are the two deep-seated values that, center his world. He's very friendship-oriented. He really pays attention to everyone and respects them. He's always been kind, even when people have been obnoxious to him. He has this wonderful smile, and especially when people are not very kind to him or disagree with him, he'll get up and his drawl will get, his country drawl will get thicker, and his smile gets just a little bit different, and he tells them how it is. Very nicely, very kindly, and unless you know John, you don't know that he's doing anything obnoxious. But he followed his passion. Again, I think that's the most important thing. And his main goal was that soil should feed the world, and he was going to lead that. Janet and John have taken the Onassis funds that they John received and established this other REAP, Renewing Earth and Its People. This is the fund established by the two of them. It provides grants to explore and address different things like world hunger, social injustice or social justice, environmental stewardship, local food production, sustainable development. And I'm thinking, when I retire, I'm just going to do my garden. But again, one of his quotes is, healthy soils, healthy souls. He's traveled the world. John has traveled the world. He's been to Argentina, to Australia, New Zealand. He's been to Brazil. These are all his neighbors that we're talking about, because he's gone in and taught to them the whole idea of the importance of soil and soil quality. He's been able to translate his excellent science so that these folks can benefit. Here are another set of his neighbors in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, and Kazakhstan. Again, a garden, translating this, the science to the folks that need it so that they can improve their lives. Healthy soils, healthy souls. India, Africa, Chile, the Pacific Islands, China. The list goes on and on of the people who are using John's passion of improving the soil by using soil quality. And it goes on and on to the point where when my son was little, he had this game called Where in the World is Carbon San Diego? And he renamed that game to Where in the World is John Duran? It's amazing how many of these folks are his neighbors. And when you go and you travel to some of these places that he's traveled to, that's the name they always use about who came and made their lives different. Again, love one another, care for the earth. Sing a new song to the earth. Make sure that we protect that earth and we give hope to the people. This actually is his ancestral country of Ireland. He went there and improved those wonderful peat soils so that, again, the people of Ireland were able to do a better job at supporting themselves and their community. He traveled across the United States, from the wheat farms in Washington to the corn and soybean belt to every cropland or cropping system that he could find to talk about this epistle that he had about Brother John's soil quality. It wasn't just that he was talking about his science. He had a deeper, he knew that there was a bigger person in his life and a bigger person in protecting the souls so that it was easy for him to tell the gospel of Brother John and saving the soils for saving the people. May we each day care for the earth. He wasn't just talking to growers and older folk. He also spent an awful lot of time spending with the kids in the future so that they would understand the importance of the soils that they had and how they could grow crops for them, for their family to eat. He's the editor of the Renewable Ag and Food Systems. And again, that was one of his ways that he helped folks understand how important the improving our soils were for the total package of improving the community. In his community of Lincoln, Nebraska, there are many different gardens that he is a part of that helps some of the lower income folks, that help some of the immigrants that are in Lincoln, Nebraska, do a better job of growing food for their families. And throughout that, we're talking about John, again, talking about his gospel of better quality soils. And that's to all the kids in the world, not necessarily just Lincoln, Nebraska, but they have set up this wonderful community crops set of gardens that does a very good job of supporting some of those low-income folks that are in his community. So now these are closer to his neighbors than his than the folks around the world, but still he's had an impact across the world, across the nation, and across his neighborhood. So while he was traipsing around the world, speaking of Brother John's idea of soil quality and making sure that the community was well fed, he knew that he had one place to come home to, and that, of course, is Lincoln, Nebraska. He knew that the center of his world was Janet Duran. There was no doubt that Janet was the center of John's world. He traipsed all over the world talking about his gospel of soil quality, and she got to stay at home a lot of the time. Janet Duran was the audience for all of his new ideas. She was the editor of many of his writings, and especially of the journal Renewable Ag and Food Systems. We got to be mentored by him. She got her laundry. She got his laundry. He took the time to traipse the world and talk to all these wonderful people and improve their lives. She got the dirty dishes. He would talk to us on Saturday morning or at 10 p.m. at night, and she got his nose in his journal. She was the one who stayed at home to raise their wonderful daughter, Karen. She kept the home fires burning. Janet is the co-founder of REAP. Janet was the person who was the grandparent to the grandkids, Drew and Faith. Now, what Janet didn't get to hear, though, was John talking about how wonderful his life was with her. He didn't get to hear all the funny stories that we would tell, or that he would tell about life with Janet and Karen. He didn't get to hear the real love, with capital letters, that's really true, L-O-V-E, that he had for her and how much he appreciated all her sacrifices throughout the time that he was traipsing the world. So this is the epitome of what Janet Duran and Karen Duran stood for. Here they are in their vacation attire. And as you can see, it includes a very wonderful soil probe and soil mixing bucket. Now, we've all done this to our families, where we've said, oh, it's just on the way. We'll get there. In this one little Labor Day weekend, as they got out of the car looking for the plots to help a graduate student, as soon as they stepped out of the car, Karen stepped on a cactus. So that started the wonderful, romantic vacation. So with Karen in the shade, recovering from her injury, John and Janet took soil sample after soil sample after soil sample on their romantic, romantic Labor Day weekend. John was, they were almost done with their wonderful romantic soil sampling time in the dust and the wind and the dirt. And all of a sudden, they heard a rattlesnake very close by. And so John, being the protector that he is toward Janet and Karen, they decided to leave one set of soil samples out in the field. So there's the one piece of lost data that he's always had. Now, while they were doing this, the whole idea of Karen sitting in the shade was a good idea, and they could always know that she was there because she kept on saying over and over again, as we've all heard from our children, "Are you done yet?" So, Janet, this is the picture that I think is the most wonderful because it shows how much John realizes how much you sacrificed for soil science. And I think I would like to end my talk by telling you that you are the center of his world and that we, as in Soil Quality, owe you more than you'll ever know for all the mentoring that John has given us, all the things that he's done for us in Soil Quality. And I would like to take this time, defer questions, and let's give Janet a round of applause for putting up with John for all those years.